we have the first opportunity to bring a warehouse right into the theater where we can get the freshest product possible to over 250 locations that we service in Afghanistan. So anything that you would find in a school cafeteria or a local restaurant are the types of food that we provide, to include the operational rations that some remote areas of the country require.
Give us an idea of what the typical menu is like then.
Well, the menu is nothing different than what you or I would have at home. I mean, there's always a meat, there's poultry, there's seafood, there's vegetables, there's desserts, drinks, everything that you can imagine that you would have on your table at home would be what the guys and gals are eating over in Afghanistan.
And how do you do this?
Well, what we do, we have a prime vendor what we call our prime vendor program, and we contract with a vendor who is responsible for bringing all the product associated with the Army's 28-day menu and making sure that they have enough product in the pipeline and in their warehouse to support the needs of these customers in Afghanistan. So they know the menu makeup. They understand how often that particular menu is served in the cycle. They calculate the number of people that are in theater, and then they bring over the product and make sure that they have sufficient days of supply on hand so they could adjust if there happen to be challenges with the distribution pipeline.
So one of the things that's so interesting to me about what you're doing, especially in Helmand Province, is that you're hiring locals to help you carry this out. How unusual is that?
Well, it is, it's not that unusual. Obviously, when we went into Afghanistan, we had to build a reputation and confidence, not only between us and the Afghanis, but them with us. So, right now, Supreme, who is our prime vendor in Afghanistan, about 91% of their employees in Afghanistan, whether they're working in the warehouse or driving trucks, about 91%, over 7,000 people are employed by Supreme, so there's a good benefit to the economy there in Afghanistan.
Do you ever worry, given the tensions between the United States and Afghanistan, about having locals having access to the food supply?
Absolutely. That's something that we make sure that is good every step of the way, and anytime we see someone stray, doesn't take long to get rid of them because of that situation. We got to be very careful.
Now, what are the logistics aspects of bringing a warehouse in, given what we know about how hard it is to transport other supplies like fuel into where it's needed in Afghanistan?
They built these warehouses, and it took them, upon the initial solicitation for the support, they built a warehouse up there in the north in Kabul and Bagram. And then as their mission expanded throughout the number of years that they've been involved, they felt the need for a distribution center down in the south. So they're like anybody else building a warehouse. They bring over the material, go under construction, get a piece of land, and took them many, many months to put that southern facility up, but they saw it as a way to cut down on some of their expenses and allow deliveries to be made quicker than coming all the way from the north, which could be very treacherous at times.
Well, does the food come by air, by rail, by truck, by mule? How does it actually get there physically?
To get to Afghanistan, we use two main courses of two modes of transportation. We use sea vans or containers that get on a ocean liner, a vessel in the United States, travel their way over to either Europe up north in Riga, Latvia, or when we could use Pakistan, we were using that, but that hasn't been open to us for the last several months. So predominantly, the majority of the product comes from the United States, and it comes on containers that are on vessels that make their way over to the Northern Distribution Network, which is in Riga, Latvia, and then it gets on the materials downloaded onto trucks that come down through the Northern Distribution Network into Afghanistan. Now, the freshest product, the fresh fruits and vegetables, the dairy product, that's airlifted in every day from our sources in the United Arab Emirates, to make sure that the freshest product is getting into Afghanistan.
We're speaking with Rich Fazo, Director of Customer Operations at the DLA's Troop Support Subsistence Directorate.
I have to say I'm still impressed by the fact that you can get fresh seafood to the troops in Helmand Province. And I know DLA says that you've saved about $28 million in this first year of this Helmand Distribution Center. How have you done that?
Well, what we did, let me just make sure, fresh seafood, it's frozen, so it's almost fresh. So when you thaw it out, it tastes just as good. But you know, the fresh fruits and vegetables and the dairy and the bakery are the way you and I would know it as being fresh. But all the other material is either canned or frozen because it's got to make that long trek from the United States and come from approved sources. But what helped us save transportation dollars in the South was that we were closer to the customer now, so we could deliver in bulk to our Helmand facility, and then once there, we were able to make individual deliveries to the surrounding customers versus coming all the way from the North. So we cut down our lead time several days as a result of having that Southern distribution facility.
And getting back to the employees who are locals, Afghanis, what kind of pay and benefits issues do you need to address to make sure they stick with you?
Well, I guess like any other market, we've got to be fair and reasonable in what we give them. If there's a lot of other opportunities, they may go elsewhere. But it's one of the things that our contractors are required to do is to ensure that the wages they're providing are equitable in similar jobs throughout that country.
So what are your contractors required to do when it comes to paying them or just in general treating the workers that, say, competitors in Helmand Province don't have to do because it's not in the culture, the work culture of the area?
They certainly need to treat them like employees that would be here in the States. They've got requirements in their contract to ensure that they get afforded the same opportunities and rights that anybody would. But there's also an ability for them to dictate, you know, who works for them and what jobs they have.
And what have you learned from this whole process that might help in future war fighting situations?
What we've learned is that the more you can do locally, the more receptivity you have from the people in that area. We have been able to foster confidence in why we're there, and there's a benefit to many people as a result of us being there. There's also been opportunities to sponsor local cricket teams, for example. So there's always goodwill that's been put back into the country, and people see that, and it helps offset some of the other things that go on that we're not real happy about.